Welcome back. We've done the boxes and we've done the formula. Today I want to sit with the deepest idea in the whole framework, and it's one that's very easy to skim straight past. You'd expect a rule that says, avoid permanent harm, to be a moral rule. Don't do harm. Be careful with people. That's what we teach our children, and it's good, and I believe in it. The framework says, that's not why. Permanent harm has structural priority over temporary gain. Not because it's morally superior, because once structure collapses, navigation stops. Read that twice in your head. The reason to avoid permanent harm isn't that it's wrong, it's that it ends your ability to do anything at all afterwards. The original's phrase is, permanent harm terminates navigability. You can recover from a fixable mistake and keep going. You cannot recover from an unrecoverable one. That's what the word means. And a system that can't recover, can't correct, can't learn, can't steer, can't do anything. It's just over. So the rule isn't be good. The rule is stay on the board. Structural survival comes before whatever it was you were trying to achieve, because achieving anything requires surviving first. It isn't a value judgment, it's a precondition. The framework calls this ethics as architecture, not morality. And I'll tell you why that's genuinely useful. Moral rules get argued with. Someone can always tell you their situation is special, their cause is worth it, the ends justify the means. But you cannot argue your way around, you need to still be here. That's not a preference. That's the flaw. Now let me give you the four jobs this framework actually does. The original lists them, and all four are worth having. The first, it makes you say what you want, out loud and specifically. What am I trying to increase? What am I trying to decrease? You would be amazed how often a person makes an enormous decision having never once said that to themselves in plain words. The second, it blocks the story. No stories, only directional effects. Not, here's my narrative about why this makes sense. Just, does this move things toward what I want, or away? Stories are where the lying lives. Direction is checkable. The third, it makes you move anyway. And this one is surprising. The framework requires you to choose a direction even without certainty. You are not permitted to wait for the fog to lift. It won't. And the fourth, it stops the freeze. When everything's uncertain, the head fills right up and you seize. But three boxes are small enough to hold in your hands. It cuts the overload down to something a person can actually carry. Now notice something. Jobs 3 and 4 point in the opposite direction from everything else we've talked about. All that caution about permanent harm. And then the framework turns around and says, move, now, without certainty. That tension is deliberate. The framework knows it's there. I'll come back to it in the final episode. And here's the thing that lifts all this out of handy decision tip territory. This isn't something you do at the moment of choosing and then put away in a drawer. The original says it runs at every layer of a larger system, that it's part of a bigger architecture, and it's present at every gate of it. I won't give you the full tour, but let me give you the shape, because the shape is the point. The same rule, permanent damage counts extra, turns up in six different places, doing six different jobs. When you're sorting what you know, everything gets marked as evidenced, inferred, or assumed, known, worked out, or guessed. And here's the move. False certainty is classified as permanent harm. Believing something firmly that you actually just made up isn't a small error you can dust off. It corrupts everything you then build on top of it. So it goes in box 3 and gets the extra weight and gets avoided accordingly. When you're assessing a situation, you ask, what's irreversible here? Before you work out which way to go.
Downside containment first, direction second, not the other way round. When you're thinking it through, several perspectives get consulted, deliberately, so no single voice can dominate. If one part of you is pushing to expand, other parts are checking for collapse. When you feel torn, friction is not an error. That uncomfortable, pulled apart feeling isn't a malfunction. It's the signal that you've got real competing outcomes sitting in different boxes. Resolving it too quickly, just to feel better, is the failure. Because the thing you smoothed over was the warning. When you're speaking, whether you offer a firm recommendation, or a hedged one, or an honest, here are two options and I can't split them, that isn't style. It's about irreversibility. The higher the risk of doing lasting damage with your advice, the more you hedge. And when you're making a claim, if you can't trace where it came from, you block it. An untraceable claim is a potential permanent corruption of what you know. So the same rule is running in six places, doing six jobs. The original's line is lovely. It's not a module, it's a bias-weighting architecture. The anti-confabulation invariant. Which brings us right back to the very first thing I told you. This was never a decision calculator. It's a device against making things up. The formula is just the most visible place it happens to show. Next time, the final episode, the framework does something I admire enormously. It turns around and attacks itself, and it publishes the results. See you there.